In a service entitled Wondering, it is only right that I bring out the Wonder Box once again. And I wonder, what's inside this box today? Any guesses?
Something that represents something else, like something that's blue because blue is the color of knowledge?
Something that represents something else, maybe something blue because blue represents the color of knowledge. Intriguing. Any other guesses? What's in the Wonder Box?
Upstairs, Rebecca. Nope, right over there.
Let me know, Aiden. A book. Perhaps it is a book.
To
any other
left.
Guesses?
Yes.
Perhaps we'll never open it, and we won't know what's in the Wonder Box. Because it's all about wonder. Well, I'm going to open it. Are you ready? So the Wonder Box holds a piece of paper. Fat lot of good that did us. I have to confess, I don't have a story this morning, but you do. And it begins with once upon a time. And I would love to hear the next sentence. Who's got it? Once upon a time.
There was a rabbit.
There was a rabbit. What happened to this rabbit? Any ideas?
The rabbit ate a carrot.
And the rabbit ate a carrot. What happened next?
The rabbit got very confused because it was April 1st and there was a snowstorm.
Shaking its head in total confusion, what did the rabbit do?
The rabbit hid under a tree and didn't come out until the next day.
The rabbit hid in a tree and burrowed down until the next day. Then what?
He made a carrot cake.
He made a carrot cake. What a wonderful thing for the rabbit to do.
And then he wondered, how can I share this carrot cake with others?
Perhaps we'll get a new character. Jasmine.
Then when the rabbit went outside to share the cake, a pile of snow fell on him.
He went outside to share his cake, and thump, a pile of snow fell right on top of him.
But he continued walking to the fox's house.
But he carried on, shook the snow off, and walked to Fox's house. What a wonderful time for the carrot cake, because Fox's was filled with friends. Let's wrap our story up. Who's got our last sentence? Who's got our last sentence? Go ahead. Oh, dear. And the circle of life continued. Well, I wondered what would happen this morning. And now I know. Thank you all so much for engaging your creativity and for allowing the wonder of our community to come together in story.
My topic today is wonder. At first glance, it may seem a bit frivolous, given the rapidity of daily happenings in our land that are, well, troubling and do need to be talked about. Clergy have to consider each week how much to actually focus there. My sermon today will be on wonder, and as it turns out, there are ways that wondering, or the lack of it, has direct impact on day-to-day personal living, family life, politics, despair, and hope. All of it. It seems that wonder has lost some luster as a powerful concept. Both Plato and Aristotle viewed wonder as the beginning of philosophy, of inquiry into the deepest meanings of life. Wonder has been relegated to something that is soft and fuzzy, childlike, and childlike seen as a disparaging term very often. Don't act like a child. Wonder, a Hallmark card suggestion. Something nice to add if you think about it. If you'll take your gray hymnal and turn to the very front, before the first hymn, after the preface, where you will find our seven principles of Unitarian Universalism listed first, beginning with the inherent worth and dignity of every person. But below that is another list of the living tradition we share and the idea that it draws from many sources. You'll see that first source, direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder, affirmed in all cultures, which moves us to a renewal of the spirit and an openness to the forces that create and uphold life. There are five sources here. One has been added since this hymnal has been printed that has to do with the earth and learning from the earth. Direct experience of that transcending mystery and wonder. I would wager to say that everyone here today has had some direct experience or experiences that have brought you to an awareness of something beyond the ordinary, beyond the usual, something that moves your heart, that informs your soulful mind. Usually these direct experiences of transcending mystery and wonder are remembered for a lifetime. I was tutored in this practice of wonder by a woman named Florence Parella, who, when I met her, was in the last 6 months of her life due to ALS. And she was a writer, and when I met her, she was typing with a pencil, beautiful things. And what she taught me was, and what she did, was focus on wondering about life and noticing its beauty and being in awe of it every day. She would put things on her windowsill that reminded her of something beautiful in her life. I'll read you the last of I think it's the last part of 60 pages of things she wrote in the last year of her life. Her daughter, by the way, Mary, was pregnant at the time that she wrote this. She did live to meet her grandchild, though. I want to hold my firstborn, Mary, sing her to a carefree sleep one more time. I could easier guide powdery wings to rest on a flower or cradle the phosphorus in the sea. Mary, you were named for the Mother of God. Forgive weakness, draw on her strength. God comes as a child to make lovers and dreamers of us all. God comes as a child to remind us that we're always beginning. God comes as a child to promise we'll be born again. A small moment of wonder, someone here pointed out to me a little bundle of snowdrops over near the parish house door, hanging in there through the April 1st snow, still there today. I have thought of that since Pam pointed it out to me and shared it with others, and it sustains me, that little hearty bunch of snowdrops. To wonder can be a verb, standing in disbelief or outside of something, standing in the question and being open to what comes as answers, standing in awe before something. Wonder, wondering, a verb. Wonder can be a noun, an experience we have that teaches us a reality beyond the ordinary. It was a wonder. This was written by a friend of mine in New Jersey, Helen Cole. "Mom, do you hear the kids singing?" My 4-year-old son asked one June night as we lay on the damp grass. We had been catching lightning bugs and watching them sparkle in a glass jar before we set them free. I listened. What I heard were the night frogs near the creek at the bottom of the hill and our two dogs panting after the lightning bug chases. "Jacob, I don't hear anyone singing." In my heart, Mom, I hear kids singing in my heart when I am happy like this. Jacob called that out, rolling down the grassy slope, barefooted legs splayed and thrashing. The dogs rose to join the race. It was then that I could hear the children singing. My child's voice seemed to rock the hillside as my heart joined his heart in love's singular rhythm. Wonder as a regular part of life's sustenance. We can look to the life of Ralph Waldo Emerson to show a progression of his spiritual and literary thoughts that was profoundly changed by experiences of wonder and awe. Emerson took a journey from the rigid, dour Puritanism of his childhood, 7 generations of Calvinist ministers in his family, to then the liberating intellectual new religion of Unitarianism, which he then left to help create with others the literary spiritual movement called Transcendentalism, which he eventually left to study world poetry and religion, which then gave him a universal outlook on religion beyond any sect or denomination. Emerson's experience in Paris in 1833 at the Jardin des Plantes, the Garden of Plants, was one of those wondrous experiences he writes about. His mind was blown by the classification of plants. He writes, "The aim to interweave all the objects of nature together in a close and compact web of mutual relations and dependence." He gazed at the exhibits and saw relationships everywhere. "Not only were the specimens linked to each other, they were linked to him," he wrote. "Not a form so grotesque, so savage, nor so beautiful, but it is an expression of some property inherent in me, the observer." Or he wrote, "I feel the centipede in me, caiman, carp, eagle, and fox. I am moved by strange sympathies. I look at the rainbow, I find myself the center of the arch. But so are you. And so is the person who sees it a mile from both of us." The Transcendentalist movement believed such things as, all humans have the divine spark within them and are open and can receive divine inspiration, which made it a very egalitarian belief system, which drove many of the Transcendentalists into social justice work. The key word in transcendentalism is not reason, but inner light. Scripture is not literal. Jesus is a prophet, not perfect, a man. The source of truth is embedded within the depth of every human soul. It wasn't three in one that God was, but all in one. God is not a separate person, but manifests in all creation. Emerson went on to study Eastern religions and was particularly moved by Iranian, then Persian, poets, specifically the poet Hafiz. So Hafiz was a Sufi, which was the mystical arm of Islam. And like transcendentalism, it was a response to fundamentalist, rigid religion. It grew up as a reaction to orthodoxy and materialism. It exalted the spiritual aspects of religion rather than the literal text of the Quran. Emerson found a kindred soul in Hafiz, in his focus on self-reliance, his rejection of dogmatism, break from tradition, his belief in universal love, and in the oneness of truth. Like Emerson, Hafiz saw concretized, rule-bound religion as something that prevented people from having their own experience of the divine, and that which separated people. This is one of my favorite poems of Hafiz, who I discovered through reading about Emerson. It's called Tired of Speaking Sweetly. Love wants to reach out and manhandle us. Break all our teacup talk of God. If you had the courage and could give the beloved his choice some night, he would just drag you around the room by your hair, lock of hair, ripping from your grip all those toys in the world that bring you no joy. Love sometimes gets tired of speaking sweetly and wants to rip to shreds all your erroneous notions of truth. All those notions of truth that make you fight within yourself, dear one, and with others, causing the world to weep on too many fine days. God wants to manhandle us, lock us inside a tiny room with himself, and practice his drop kick. The beloved sometimes wants to do us a great favor, hold us upside down and shake all the nonsense out. But when we hear he is in such a playful drunken mood, most everyone I know quickly packs their bags and hightails it out of town. Hafiz writes of our fear of leaving our own ideas of things, afraid we are going to leave the comfort of our current worldview. Rather than to stand in that moment, to abide in the questions, to wonder there about what might be waiting for us. Afraid we can be to leave the comfort of our current ideas, and here is where wonder becomes relevant to our current national story. I viewed on purpose one of the press briefings in the White House this week. Now, I'm putting aside political ideas and not intending to malign any one person. I looked at the gestalt. What was it like? What was the energy there in that press conference? The interaction of Sean Spicer with the press corps. Here was an interaction of no relevance, really. There present in the interaction was cynicism and trustlessness and maneuvering and holding on to positions. There was a distinct lack of communicative flow or respect or any sense of unity. Guardedness and groundlessness and great pain was present. I felt empathy for how far it was, that experience, from the best of humanity. I saw how tired Mr. Spicer is, how sad, how suspicious, caught in the job of guarding, keeping wrapped up that which sours and spoils when it's kept secret. And we are so used to it, aren't we? We keep repeating it. It saps our ability to cooperate, to move the energy into some common purpose. It is a dam of fear and righteousness that keeps the river of democracy's need for movement from flowing. It is that attachment to one's ideas that can start wars, behead people, divide people, support the old story of separation, and stops people from wandering toward a new solution together. Wonder, as an antidote to that which teaches us the story of separation and gives us an experience of the truer story, the deeper story, the spiritual story of interbeing and union. Rachel Carson, how many know who Rachel Carson is? She wrote Silent Spring decades ago, Unitarian, by the way. Warning us about the way we were treating the environment. And she says this: the more clearly we can focus our attention on the wonders and realities of the universe around us, the less taste we shall have for destruction. If I had influence with the good fairy who is supposed to preside over the christening of all children, I should ask that her gift to each child in the world be a sense of wonder, so indestructible that it would last throughout life, as an unfailing antidote against the boredom and disenchantments of later years, the sterile preoccupation with things artificial, the alienation from the sources of our strength. Wonder as an antidote to that which teaches us the story of separation. Wonder as the handmaiden to science. There is no science without the commitment to wonder. Wonder is the handmaiden to science, not its enemy. Wonder moves the needle from the known to the speculative bridge of experimentation. Albert Einstein wrote this: the pursuit of truth and beauty is a sphere of activity in which we are permitted to remain children all our lives, permitted to wonder over and over again. Love sometimes gets tired of speaking sweetly and wants to rip to shreds all your erroneous notions of truth that makes you fight within yourself, dear one, and with others, causing the world to weep on too many fine days. Wonder, so esteemed in eons past, wonder as that which points to the essence of all worthy religion, the distillation that brought Emerson to his universalizing religion beyond denomination, beyond beliefs even. One living system. We are a part of it. We are a part. We are each other. The spirit of love swells in direct experiences of this transcending mystery and wonder. I'll be honest, these days I'm using wonder as a survival tactic. Sort of like Florence did in the latter stages of her ALS. A process where, if practiced heartily, can arrange to have our lives matter no matter what in our souls. Rumi writes this: today, like every day, we wake up empty and frightened. Don't open the door to the study and begin reading. Take down the dulcimer. Let the beauty we love be what we do. There are hundreds of ways to kneel and kiss the ground. As Stephen Hawking said, we are made by a very tiny, tiny, tiny mathematical equation to wonder as human beings and to love because we wonder. The spirit of love is in all hearts and wants to sing. May we let God, through wonder, turn us upside down and shake all the nonsense of separation out. For then we can, it seems to me, together write and live and sing the new story of interbeing.